This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. Coming up, playing jazz bass along the Danube. But first, in May of 2000, a bounty was put on the heads of seven math problems, the most difficult mathematical conundrums of our time. They're called the Millennium Problems, and to get them solved, American financier and math hobbyist Landon Clay endowed a pot of $7 million. That's $1 million per answer. That's Who Wants to Be a Millionaire the Hard Way. Weekend Edition's math guy, Stanford University professor Keith Devlin, has written a book about these problems and the contest for their solutions. It's appropriately called The Millennium Problems, and he joins us now from Palo Alto. Keith, thanks for being back with us.
Good morning, Scott. Good to talk to you again.
It's good to talk to you. Take us through some of the problems, if you could. What makes them a challenge to solve, anyway?
Okay, well, the seven problems were actually chosen by an international committee of world-class mathematicians, and their brief was to actually come up with a list of the most difficult and important unsolved problems in the field. Some of them go back 100, 200 years or so. They've all been around a long time. They're all well known within mathematics, and each one of them has resisted attempts at solution by some of the best mathematical minds in the world.
Well, let's try and review some of them. The Navier-Stokes equations.
Right. These are the equations that govern the way fluids or gases flow. For example, water flowing around the hull of a speedboat or air flowing over the fuselage of an aircraft. These equations, we've known about the equations for about 150 years now. Unfortunately, we don't know how to solve them. Now, that hasn't stopped people designing aircrafts and speedboats, because using computers and to some extent wind tunnels, indeed we can get around the problem of not having a solution. On the other hand, having a solution might give us new insights into fluid flow. So although engineers have learnt to do without them, there might be some surprises in store for all of us if and when these equations are solved.
Mm. Now, a very old question is included in here, and that's the Riemann hypothesis.
Right, and in fact, it's actually, mathematicians would say that this is the most important unsolved problem in mathematics. It's the problem that any mathematician, myself included, would want to solve above all. Mm-hmm. And the Riemann hypothesis, for all its complexity, stems from one of the oldest and simplest problems of mathematics there is. That is the problem of what is the pattern of the prime numbers. The prime numbers are the numbers that you cannot divide by any number smaller than themselves other than 1 without leaving a remainder, the numbers like 2, 3, 5, 7, 11, 13, and so forth. When you count through the numbers and you tick off the primes, at first there's a lot of them, then they begin to thin out, but they appear to thin out in a random fashion. The question that the Greeks asked, and many mathematicians after the Greeks, was, is there a hidden pattern behind the primes? Nowadays, we know that there is a pattern. The Riemann hypothesis is a hypothesis that would tell us a lot more information about that pattern. And that's particularly important today because the system that we rely upon for internet security depends upon prime numbers. Oh. A solution to the Riemann hypothesis would mean that Amazon.com had better go back into the back room and huddle and redesign their entire web system.
So we, meaning decent people everywhere, want to solve this problem before some ogre does, or what?
Yeah, actually, I should just nuance that and say, simply knowing that the problem has been solved won't make a change to anything. The danger is that the methods that would be developed to solve it, and this is true for most of these millennium problems, it's not so much the solution itself that will count, although that will get somebody $1 million, it's the new methods that would almost certainly be required to be developed in order to get a solution would surely impact internet security, big time.
Mm. And what effect will the money have, do you think, on organizing the thinking process?
I think the best way to think about this is to compare it with athletics. An athlete who goes to the Olympic Games knows that if he or she gets a gold medal, there'll be no shortage of offers to endorse products and to make a lot of money. But that's not why they go. They go for the glory. They want the gold medal. They want to stand up there on the pedestal with their hand on their hearts and listen to the national anthem being played. It's the same with mathematics. Anyone who wants to solve one of these problems will do it for the glory. Yes, they're not going to say no to the $1 million, and I'm sure they'd enjoy spending it, but that's not going to be the motivation. And even if it was, it would be a very, very crazy way to earn money, because it might take 10 years of your life to solve the problem. And if you've got mathematical ability, 10 years for $1 million at the end, maybe, is not a good return on your intellectual investment.
How safe is Mr. Clay's money?
I don't think we're going to see the whole $7 million given out within the next 10 years or even within the next century. It is possible that one or two of the $1 million prizes will be given out within the next 5 or 6 years.
Which ones? Do you want to guess?
Okay. If I had to guess, I'd say the one that's going to go first is probably the Riemann hypothesis. Mm-hmm. And the one that would go next is the one that there's a slight chance of an amateur being able to solve, which is a problem to do with the efficiency of computer systems. For the record, it's called P versus NP, and it also is related to internet security, by the way. It's the one problem, I think, where one new idea that has just evaded everyone's attention so far could crack the thing open. It could be that someone could solve it with a page worth of formulas with just one key new idea. I think that's unlikely, but by golly, it's possible.
Well, Keith, on your mark, get set, go.
It's all yours, Scott. You can have any one of the seven, or all seven if you like.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Can't wait to get off the air and get started. In fact, I might scribble as we continue the rest of the show. Keith, thanks very much.
Okay, do that.
Keith Devlin is Executive Director of the Center for the Study of Language and Information at Stanford University in Palo Alto, California. He's Weekend Edition's math guy and author of the new book, The Millennium Problems. For more on math's toughest problems, you can go to npr.org.